here. I think Jay's got time left. So to me, you know, as long as you're keeping Jay on the right path, you're doing all right. I just wonder how, you know, changing offensive coordinators, how Jay's going to handle that, because, you know, he's run over a few coaches during his career.
It's the future!
Down and Distance
on WGNRadio.com.
Welcome back in Down and Distance. I am your guy, SD2 Mike Sean Davis. He is
Peyton's son, PAYTON SUN.
That's the voice of the man, the myth, the legend, Jared Payton, right here, WGNRadio.com. Getting ready to talk a little bit more about the Bears. We talked about Ryan Pace, his comments at the combine and the direction of the team and the improvement in 2015 and what to expect in 2016. Right now, we're going to bring on a new friend of the program, NFL reporter for BleacherReport.com, Jason Cole. At Jason Cole, BR. That's at Jason Cole, BR. Before we talk some football, I see that you're a big fan of Michael Simon.
I absolutely.
Throw the go-to meal to me.
Well, I'm not a wine drinker. I'm a beer guy, but
okay,
I know my wife likes a Pinot Grigio, and I've learned that early on.
Okay.
So, but for me, if I'm cooking and I'm trying to impress my wife early on, I made what's called a tequila chicken, which is you take white onion, jalapenos, garlic, mix that all in a food processor. Then you take mesquite seasoning, sea salt, olive oil, fresh cracked pepper. You put that over the chicken. You marinate it in the onion mixture, the onion jalapeno mixture. You throw in a couple of shots of tequila to keep it moist, and then you put two lemons. You quarter those up. You put it all in a bag. Let that marinate overnight. Then you put it on a grill 8 minutes aside. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It goes over a fettuccine alfredo, or you can put it with a salad if you want to go light. So it's a perfect mix. It's a nice southwestern feel to it, and I make a lot of variations off of that, but pretty much the tequila chicken, that's a winner. That'll get you a second date minimum.
What's your go-to beer?
You know, I'm pretty weak on beer. I go Blue Moon with the orange. If that's all they got, Blue Moon with the orange. I like to keep things a little sweet and a little bit light.
Listen,
if you're in Ireland, you know, like, you got to go. You know, you got to go with the Guinness. So I'll do that if I have to.
Jason, I'm telling you, next time you come to Chicago and hanging out, let's have some beer. I got my own beer, Jared Payton All-American Wheat Ale. It's a nice if you like Blue Moon, you'll like this one. Instead of
Garnier, I definitely will. You're talking my language.
The draft. When you come to the draft, I got you.
Draft.
Yeah, when you come here.
When I come to the draft, I don't think I'm going to make it for the draft this year, but if I do, I'm definitely hitting you guys up for this. I'll tell you that.
Well, question, and we're talking about the draft and talking about the combine. This is a time, especially for Bears fans, trying to figure out, you know, where this team's going to go. I think there's a lot of holes, especially on the defensive side. Sean and I were talking a little bit earlier. Could this be, and I think the Bears have to start looking into the future of thinking of who is going to be that next quarterback for this organization. Could that quarterback be in this draft? I don't think so. Sean doesn't think so. But do you think so?
I think potentially. If you're talking about a kid like Wentz, maybe, that's possible, or Lynch. You know, Goff, I always wonder about California guys going and playing cold weather. His hands are decent size, and nine-inch hands are okay. But, you know, you want a guy with big hands to handle the ball when it gets cold. So that'll be a bit of a question for him. So I think Wentz is okay. I think he's got a strong enough arm to throw it in the wind in Chicago and through the cold when the weather gets bad. I think Lynch has a big enough arm. Wentz certainly, and Lynch, you know, quite possibly, I think he's got a strong enough arm to handle, you know, winter time. So if you're looking at those guys, that's okay. But look, I thought Jay was fine this past year. I think Jay's got time left in the league. So to me, you know, as long as you're keeping Jay on the right path, you're doing all right. I just wonder how, you know, changing offensive coordinators, how Jay's going to handle that. And because, you know, he's run over a few coaches here during his career.
Coming out of the combine, it seems like the depth is definitely on the defensive side of the ball. And that seems to be the area that most fans want the Chicago Bears to shore up. That is the defensive side of the ball. Does that bode well that depth that they don't have to go and reach possibly for a decent defensive player in the first round or second round. Maybe if Ronnie Stanley's there, they can get a left tackle to help out on the offensive line and shore that up. And then with the depth in the draft, go defense in 2, 3, and 4.
I think that there's definitely a possibility for that. I mean, if they go Stanley in the first round, shore up the line, you got Long there, who's a solid player. Hopefully shift him back to guard. I mean, if you have to leave him a tackle, okay, you leave him a tackle. But I think he would prefer to be inside if he has his druthers. And I know he'll say the right things, but if given a vote, he'd probably be back inside. So Stanley makes some sense if he's there. But, look, I think this is a draft that's loaded with really, really good defensive players. You're not talking about just Boza or Jack or Hargraves or Ramsey. I mean, it goes pretty deep in this draft with guys. I mean, the linebackers are really going to be good. You know, you can take a chance on see how far Jalen Smith drifts in this draft. I mean, does he end up in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round? That's an awfully talented player that you can take a chance on. Obviously, probably not going to play this year or not be very effective this year. But, you know, that's a guy you could stow away if he drifts too much in the draft. But, yeah, I like this. The kid from Clemson, the corner, McKenzie Alexander.
Yeah.
That's a really talented corner. He might be the most talented guy. I don't know that he's going to be the first corner to come off. Yeah, I still think that's going to be Hargraves. But that's an indication of how deep this group is.
Jason Cole joining us here on Down and Distance. Plenty of – you talked about defensive players. A lot of these guys really help themselves out at the combine. Anybody jump out to you that kind of maybe up their stock just a little bit in their workouts at the combine?
Well, the Marshall kid at running back, obviously with that speed and getting healthy, that was a really important thing for him. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, we, you know, 2 years in a row, we're going to have a really solid first running back coming off the board. You know, last year it was Gurley. This year it's going to be Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, God, he ran great. I saw him run down in Miami at one of his workouts down there, and I was like, wow, he looks great. And his trainer said, oh, yeah, he'll run about a 4.5. And I was like, 4.5, that looks a lot faster than a 4.5 to me, and how smooth he ran. And he ended up running the 4.4s at the combine. So his trainer kind of smiled at me and said, yeah, I wanted to keep expectations low. But that kid was fantastic. I think the quarterbacks we talked about before, Wentz, who a lot of people worry about because he's coming from North Dakota State and a smaller program, didn't play against the greatest competition in the world, did not look out of place competing against guys, not just the arm strength that he showed, but not being intimidated by the environment. A lot of people were saying, okay, is this going to be too big for him to be surrounded by NFL scouts and coaches and executives, along with being on a field with the best of the best? Is he going to look out of place? And he didn't. So I think those guys, if you're talking about people who really jumped off the page, those are some of the guys who jumped off the page.
Hey, you talk about Todd Gurley, you talk about Ezekiel Elliott, and we know that football is all about passing right now. It's a passing league.
Uh-huh.
Putting up points, the rules have been changed to allow offenses to be able to pass the ball. With that being said, these two guys being taken, possibly in the first round, and looking at what Gurley was able to do once he came back from injury last year,
uh-huh.
Will you see these two guys as somewhat of a renaissance or renaissance running backs as far as how scouts look at them and how organizations look at them?
I think that there's a, you know, look, there's an ebb and flow to everything. As soon as people start playing wide, what happens is if you're playing against wide open offenses, you're usually compiling defensive teams that can handle that. So you're playing, you know, with lighter guys, lighter defensive linemen, guys who can pass rush, you know, linebackers who are smaller. And so what happens is teams that don't have that kind of talent to be able to throw the ball around sit there and say, okay, we're playing against all these lightweight defenses. Why don't we come back and play with a heavy pounding running game against them and take advantage of what they have? And again, some teams that are really talented on defense are fast enough and just strong enough. Like they have a nice balance the way that Denver had a nice balance, and they can still play good enough run defense. But you can win a lot of games in this league by playing heavier football, getting back to running the ball, and you can win 10 or 11 games. I'm just not sure that you can win the 12 or 13 in the regular season that you need to have a number one seed. And you still just have to be able to throw it at critical times even in the playoffs. You have to make a big play or two with your passing game generally. You know, this year, Denver managed to do it without a lot of big plays in the passing game. They had a couple of them, you know, one against Pittsburgh and two of them against New England, the two touchdown passes that Manning threw to Daniels. But outside of that, they were able to get through the playoffs, you know, completely dependent on their defense.
You look at just how everything's going on nowadays with social media. Ohio State guys seem to love getting on Twitter and venting and putting stuff out there. Joey Bosa going at some fans just about his times and stuff and said, hey, you'll when I'm done playing, you'll probably still be working, going off on people. But Joey, listen, I know Joey Bosa is not going to be J.J. Watt, but what do you expect from him in the
pros? He's Justin Smith. He's closer to Justin Smith. And I think that's a hell of a player to have. Yeah. Like, if you're sitting in the top five of a draft and you say, okay, I got an opportunity to get Justin Smith for the next 12 years, you feel good about that. You feel really good about that. Joey's not going to be a guy who gets you 15 to 18 to 20 sacks in a year. He's just not that same kind of athlete. But he's a guy who's capable of playing right end, being terrific as a right end, probably getting 8 to 10 sacks, which is good. Playing three techniques, playing defensive end in a 3-4, maybe making it look good as a right end occasionally, depending on the matchup. And even if you play some 3-4, you could probably stand him up. He's a versatile weapon. He's like a Swiss Army knife. Or if you decide you want to put 30 pounds on him, because his frame will determine that. I mean, his frame is really good, so he could put 30, 35 pounds on. But if you all of a sudden do that, you do have Justin Smith. You do have a big, heavier guy who can take on blockers and set other people up. The one place where you're going to be disappointed, however, if is you're expecting J.J. Watt, which I think a lot of people make the claim just because largely because both guys are white, they probably make that assumption that they're both going to be that they're the same player, and they're not. I think that if you're expecting a guy like even Simeon Rice, who's going to come off of the right side and blow people up and get 15 sacks a year, that's not what Joey Bosa is. He's not that same kind of athlete, but he's a really, really good defensive lineman, a really good player, and I think he's going to have a really good 10 or 12 year career, you know, barring injuries. And again, if you're sitting in the top five, that's great. The only place where it becomes a problem is if you have a defensive line that doesn't have anybody and you're expecting this guy to all of a sudden set the tone and be that sack master that we all, you know, that every team dreams about having, or a Von Miller. That's not what he is. And so I think you have to set some expectations.
Jason Cole, NFL reporter for BleacherReport.com. Jason, before we let you go, I'm going to set you up. You can follow him right now at Jason Cole BR. That's at Jason Cole BR. Now,
Before
we let you go, I'm going to give you an opportunity to ingratiate yourself to all Chicago Bears fans. I'm going to put you in position. You tell me, from your viewpoint, what's the most glaring hole that needs to be filled? And if you're going to fill that hole, give me a sleeper that people might not be thinking about at that position that you would take.
All right, so they've got which pick again? I'm trying to remember. They've got pick 11, number
– the 11th pick.
Like, the guy who pops out at number 11 who's going to be there and be value is going to be, to me, Ronnie Stanley. That's the guy that's got to take at number 11, an offensive tackle, that you get an anchor there who's going to be there for 10 years. And, like, they just haven't had a guy there that, you know, you could say, okay, this guy's going to take care of business for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
So I would take that because I think that's a very – Stanley fits the bill. You know, you got a little bit of the local angle since he's a Notre Dame kid. I think that all works together. Yeah, I think he'll like that. But if you're going to go with a sleeper, you know, like Taylor Decker, can you move around in the second round, somehow get up toward the end of the first round and get a kid like Taylor Decker out of Ohio State, who's a little more athletic than people think and is, you know, really worked hard this offseason since he was done at Ohio State working on some technical stuff out in Arizona. To me, that would be the guy that you would take later on in the draft. You know, and again, you're still talking tail end of the first round, early part of the second round. But if you could get a guy like him, that would maybe be the better value. And then you can use number 11 on a defensive guy.
There you go. You heard it here first. Jason Cole, NFL reporter for BleacherReport.com. Once again, go follow him right now at Jason Cole BR. Jason, thank you for joining us today on Down and Distance. We'll talk to you soon and hope to see you in the draft and try some of that Jared Payton All-American weed up.
Oh, I'm looking forward
and
to it.
I'm going to go home and try that tequila chicken as well.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I'll send you the recipe anytime.
Do that. All right, appreciate Jay. You.
All right. Take care, guys. Thanks.